have a message on my heart this morning that is pretty serious. It's more of a warning and a challenge to us this morning. I trust that it will also encourage us to look on the plan of God and what God really has and desires us to be. When Jesus began to teach his disciples about the way he wanted them to be in his church, let me find here, he talked about how it was in the world and how people would act in places of leadership. I'm not quite sure which place in the Gospels that I'm wanting here. You might ask for help. Here we go. I knew it was Luke chapter 22 and verse 5, verse 24 and 25. And there was also a strife among them, and he's talking about the disciples, which of them should be accounted the greatest? That happened several times, didn't it? He had these 12 followers, and they would hear his messages, and they would. He gave them power to cast out devils and to heal people, and they would assist him in all the work that he did in traveling throughout Galilee to preach and to heal. And they always had this thing going on. When they would get by themselves, I think they were a little embarrassed to do this around him. But when they would get by themselves, they would wonder. And even one of them got his mother, or two of them got the mother involved. Remember who they were? One, two of them had a mother that was wanting to make sure that her sons were in places of honor in his kingdom. Remember who that was? That was James and John. James and John's mother, Salome, wanted Jesus to put her sons on the throne beside him, one on each side of him. Places of honor. I think it was rather embarrassing, really, for her to come and do that. But there are people who will do things like that. They want the place of honor. What do we call that in a person? Ambition? For the purpose of this little message this morning, I want to speak to us a little bit about that thing inside of every human that desires to be honored and recognized and approved. We all have it, some more than others. Sometimes we look at it and we say it like this: well, he just has something to prove. Or that little child is just wanting attention. We say it like that, but there's something that is in the heart of every person that the Lord's got to do something with when he saves them and brings them into his kingdom. They can't carry that along with them. And that's what the message is this morning, is what happens when a person tries to carry that desire and that drive with them into the kingdom of God. There are several examples. I want to bring some of them out. But let's read what Jesus said here, Luke 22 and 24. There was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. That's the rule in Christ's kingdom. We might say it this way: that's the rule in his church. That's the way that his church is designed to operate. Another place, let's look at this one, Luke 14:7. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms. He was at some place to eat. He was at the house of one of the chief Pharisees. And so he watched some of the other guests, which I suppose were Pharisees. And he actually talked to the Pharisees about this at another place, which we may read. He watched people, how they came strutting in, some of them filled with great self-importance. They came in and they had the thought, I'm somebody, I need to sit in this room. This is the prettiest room. This obviously is the room that they've set for people of honor. That's me. And they would come in and Jesus noticed them. Just like he took note of the little conversations going on with his disciples, he took note of people who were putting themselves forward, self-promoters, we might call it, how they chose out the chief rooms. And he said unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. So here we have a place where there are seats of honor, and somebody that's self-promoting comes in and sits down. Well, the host has that marked for certain people. And he has to go to the person who's got himself up there in his own eyes and say, this seat's not for you. You're going to have to go sit in the back. He said, don't do that. He said, when thou art bidden, verse 10, go and sit in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. So we have here the picture where he goes to the person that's sitting in the back and said, don't you know you're in the reserved seats on the front row? Come on up here and sit up here. Jesus said to his disciples, this is the way that I want this in my kingdom. Anyone that wants to be great, if you want to be great in the kingdom, in God's sight, greatness is humility. And somebody who's self-promoting is not the greatest in the kingdom. They're the lowest. That's what he was trying to teach. Over and over and over he taught this. Look at this one. Matthew 20, is it 23, I believe? He was talking to the multitude and to his disciples about the Pharisees. And he described the Pharisees in Matthew 23. He said, they do all their works to be seen of men. They love the uppermost rooms at the feast and the chief seats in the synagogue. He noticed all these things, and does not the Lord notice today? He notes when we feel that we're important. He notes that, and it's not anything that he loves. What does the scripture say about he draws near to the humble, but the proud he knows afar off? He puts off the proud person. He does not honor the proud person. He does not, in true honor. Now I want to speak a little bit about our desire for God's blessing and honor. It's not a wrong thing for God, for us to desire, Lord, I want you to bless me. I want you to answer my prayers. If I get up and talk about you to the people, if I testify, if I preach, I want you to bless me. I want it to be something that will help others, is what we're saying. I don't want it to be boring and dull. I don't want it to be something that will throw cold water and discourage people. I want to be blessed. But there's something about that that a human, the humanity in us, can want too much. And we want it for a wrong reason. And we want it to somehow to be self-promotional instead of just, Lord, I want to be a servant. I want to help people. We can carry that too far. And the Lord knows. That's one thing that we need to remember today, is that the Lord notices when we lift ourselves up. And if we're really wanting to go to heaven, we really want him to lead us in our lives, he's going to deal with us about it. He'll be faithful to us. You ask the Lord, and I have, and He has. You ask the Lord, Lord, point it out to me when you see that I'm thinking more of myself than I ought to think. You point it out to me. And the Lord is faithful to do that if somebody really wants to live for Him. The Lord will deal with this part of humanity in us. So he was saying here how the Pharisees loved these things. They loved uppermost rooms at feasts, the chief seats in the synagogue. That's verse 6. They loved greetings in the marketplace of honor. Oh, hello, Rabbi. And he said, don't be called names like that. He said, don't take the name of Rabbi or Master or Father so-and-so. We don't want people going around calling us the most reverend father or the most reverend mother so-and-so. He said, don't take those names to yourself. Now, this goes against a lot of in the religious world. You have father this and vicar this and most holy mother, reverend so-and-so. And all kinds of names. They tack on all kinds of titles. When right here in the Gospels, Jesus said, don't do that. In my church, don't do that. He said, call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Now, he's not talking about daddy or my father. He's not talking about your parent on earth. He's talking about a title that has with it reverence and honor that only goes to God. He's talking about a religious title. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. There's quite a bit about this in the scriptures. We won't be able to get every one, but I want to get one more that Jesus said. And then I want to turn to some examples. John chapter 12, verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. This is something that he said in answer to some men who came to his disciples and said, sir, we would see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. How will we say that? If somebody came and said, oh, I've been wanting to meet you. I've heard so much about you. I just want to touch your clothes. You're just so important. This is what you kind of get. And Jesus, it's almost like he didn't even recognize that. We want to see Jesus. Jesus did not take honor to himself. Did you know that? You say, well, he could have. He was the Lord. He was God in the flesh. He did not exploit that. He did not use that at all. He came as a servant. He said, the Son of Man is not come to be ministered to. Don't minister to me like I'm somebody. Don't lift me up like I'm somebody. I have come to give myself as a ransom for many. Here, again, he recognizes true honor. And this is what he said. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Yes, I'm going to be glorified. What was he talking about? How was Jesus going to be glorified? He was getting ready to be lifted up on a cross. He lifted him up all right. But it wasn't like what people would like to be lifted up as. Jesus did not choose to be lifted up as a king. Jesus came as a servant and as a ransom and as redemption, which meant he had to lose his life. He came to be mocked and scorned. He came knowing that he was going to be rejected. Scripture and prophecy, Isaiah 53, he well knew he was despised and rejected of men. Jesus came willing to do that. And that's the way he wants us. Would you be willing to speak God's word your whole life long, despised of people? Would you be willing? We say, well, that's not, I want to be blessed. I want, every time I preach or sing or whatever, I wanted to really go over. What if God called you to be despised and rejected of everyone? Everywhere you went, people would say, that wasn't really very good. You know, really, he can't speak. Did you know that Paul was like that? People said of him, his speech is contemptible and his presence just makes me uncomfortable. That's the way the Apostle Paul was. Some of the other disciples, maybe that's the way that they were. Paul said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. I don't know what it is, but I wonder sometimes if he had something that, oh, he wanted to be able to be blessed, his human part, but he had to die to that. He had to just totally give that over. I can't. I'm going to be rejected and despised. Jesus came and embraced that. He said, the hour has come that the Son of Man will be glorified. He knew exactly what he meant here. I'm fixing to die on a cross. I'm going to bear the death of the most despicable death, the death that they give to the most horrible criminals. This is how I'm going to be glorified. As humans, we might say, what? Crucifixion for the sake, for the King of glory? Yes, that's what it meant. He told us, he said, if you want to be exalted, humble yourself. And he showed what that meant. He went to the furthest extent of humbling oneself. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. This morning, do we want to bring forth fruit? Would you like to win a lot of souls? Out in the religious world today, that's almost a status symbol for some churches. Oh, we gathered in 1,000 souls this year. They put that on their Facebook statuses and said, we were able to preach to hundreds. We had 18 people baptized this morning in our church. And I think about what Jesus said. I'm getting ready to be glorified. I'm fixing to be crucified. Crucifixion of the flesh and being willing to be despised and rejected and unknown, that's not very popular, is it? People go for what makes money. People go for what gives them status. People go for what makes them feel good. And if you don't have that, oh, I don't know. People aren't really willing to be glorified as Jesus was glorified. He said, he that, unless it dies, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it's alone. And to me, that is the fruit or the lack of fruit. That's the outcome of a life of self-promotion, is spiritually being alone. Really, no good to God and no real good for anyone. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. You do as I have done. You follow in my steps. You be crucified with me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If it's in scenes of glory, or if it's on Calvary. Wherever you are, Lord, that's where I want to be. And he said, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Do we want the Lord's honor this morning? I want the Lord's honor. But I'm seeing in the scriptures that it's different from the honor that's given to men by others. I want to go, let's see, one more in John 5. There are several things that seeking honor from men produces in our lives. And I want to mention one of them here. John 5 and 44. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? If we are saved and enter into Christ's kingdom and endeavoring to serve in the church of God, if we have this motivation of the things that we do, whether we sing or pray or preach or go out and win souls on the street or whatever we do, if we do it with this motive, we are seeking honor that comes from men, from people. If we do any of the things that we do for the Lord with that motive, it's going to hinder real faith in God. We won't really trust in God. Our eyes are on the people. Our eyes are on what we're getting from them. He said, how can you believe if you're a person who receives honor from men? When you really humble, when humility and faith go right together, when we humble ourselves, God is close to us. We can believe in Him easily. We can pray to Him. We'll trust in Him because we're not trusting in ourselves and our own works. We've ceased from our own works. So it's a rest of faith. We can believe on Him much easier and much simpler because we're only looking to Him. Lord, I want you to honor me or don't honor me. Just, Lord, I just want to serve you. I just want to live for you. Let's look at some examples, some stories. The first one that I've had on my mind is the story of Cain and Abel. Remember that one? Genesis chapter 3 is the story. I won't read it all. That it said, the Lord had respect, in verse 4, He had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering, He had not respect. Now, the tradition that I've read is that in those days when God accepted an offering, He sent fire down from heaven to consume it. So, this is what I understand. It doesn't say that, but what I understand from that is that He sent that fire down for Abel, but He didn't for Cain. He didn't pay attention. He didn't give any honor. He didn't give any respect. He didn't consume the offering as He did when He was pleased. Cain offered it and there was silence. Cain expected and there was nothing. And the scripture in Hebrews 11, I believe it is, says that he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, Abel, did. And there's another one. Let's see. In John, 1 John 3, in verse 12, verse 11 says, we should love one another and not as Cain, who was that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore or why did he slay him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's were righteous. There we have a clue. Okay, now let's look at this story. God had respect to Abel's offering, but he didn't receive Cain's. So there was something in Cain that rose up. And we've got to watch that same thing. Did you know that there can be a little tiny root of bitterness that comes up in somebody who's not feeling God's blessing? And he looks over and he thinks, oh, well, he's being blessed. I'm just as good as he is. Why is God not blessing me? Why is he seeming to go somewhere? Why are his finances being blessed? Why not me? Or how come he got... Oh, this thing can go in a lot of places. We women, we can look at somebody and that we think, oh, huh, who does she think she is? wearing that. Well, I can too. There's just a little... People ate her cake at the dinner and no one touched mine. I know we're being ridiculous, but this happens. I've heard people say things like this. Well, you take the offering over. You can get all the glory. Where'd that come from? Religious people can be as embarrassing as the disciples. We can. It's that same thing. I want to be great. I want to be even greater than you. If it means you being put down just so I can be recognized. You ever go to a potluck dinner and you got somebody that stations himself right by the desserts and he says, I want to get it first because if I don't get in here first, I won't get any? Did you know people can be that way in their lives? They can be that way with everything. I want the best. I want to be recognized. I want to have it. And I don't. If you don't get it, that's your fault. Get in here and scramble like me. We'll both. You know, Jesus said in my church, it's not going to be so. Don't. When you're looking for, Lord, where's your church? You know what you ought to look for? And me too. Humility. Look for people who are humble. They're the people that are going to draw near to the Lord. The little verse Michael gave us this morning, draw near to God. Do you know how to do that? You humble yourself. That's how we receive God's blessings. And that's what the Lord told Cain in this little story. He said, Cain, if you do well, you'll be accepted, won't you? Cain, if you'll just do well. And you know what? I think that's what we ought to all try to do. Lord, I want to do well in your sight. I want to obey you. I want you to bless me and have no other intention, no other motive, no other thought. But Lord, I just want to do well. I want to do what's right. Jesus said, or in the book of James, he said, where do wars and... How is it? Let's look at that. James chapter 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? And he was talking about this same thing. He said, you have not because you ask not. You've not prayed. And he said, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss that you might consume it upon your own lusts. You have desires, he's saying right here. He said, does the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes into a person, does he make that person desire and envy? No, he doesn't do that. The Holy Spirit in us does not have those desires. When the Holy Spirit comes into us, he's going to make us like Christ. And Christ took the lowest place. He said, you ask and you receive not. I think about Cain. He had a wrong motive. He didn't receive the blessing. But God dealt with him and said, if you just do well, you'll be accepted. We sometimes want outward show of acceptance. I believe the Lord would have us to come before him and say, Lord, I don't care how you bless me. If you want to bless me in a private way where no one else knows, that's okay. I don't need to be seen. I don't need all the praise. Jesus said, seek the lowest place. I don't want to seek to be noticed. I don't want to seek the honor that comes from people. He said, you can't even believe. You can't have the real faith if you do that. So we want to have the kind of faith that God looks at us and says, oh, great is your faith. Well, we can't do it when we're proud. Another person that I thought about, I'll just mention, the story of Esther. Remember the villain in the story? Who was he? Haman. That wicked Haman. That's what the king said. Or was it Mordecai? Anyway, but I thought about how that he had visions of personal grandeur. Did he not? He was so conceited. And whenever the king was reading in the night or had his servants read to him from his journals of the kingdom, he couldn't sleep. He said, read to me out. Let's find out what's been going on in the kingdom. I can't sleep anyway. So they were reading to him, and they came across how that a plot against his life had been discovered by one of the men out in the courtyard, Mordecai, who hung out at the gate hoping to see a glimpse of his cousin, who was now made queen, Queen Esther. So he stayed around out there, and he happened to hear two of the king's personal servants plotting against his life. So he sent a message to Queen Esther, who told then the right people in the palace, and the plot was found out, and the two men were hanged. And the king said, what? That really happened? Yeah, here it is. It's written down. He said, has anything ever been done for this man, Mordecai, who found out about the plot against my life? And they said, no, nothing is recorded anything has ever been done. And so the king said, well, we're going to take care of that. In the morning, I'm going to tell Haman, my advisor, this is what I want done. Well, Haman had just been all upset because this same man, Mordecai, had been not recognizing him when he was out there in the street. And Haman thought, everyone should recognize me. Well, Mordecai was a devout Jew. Devout Jews did not bow to anybody but God. Haman even wanted to take people's personal freedoms, religious freedoms away. And when you see that, you're going to know that someone's ambition has evolved till it's so great, they're willing to take your personal freedoms away. This happens all the time. So Haman went home all upset, and his wife said, aren't you the king's favorite? Go to the king and ask for a gallows to be built, and you can hang your enemy. You won't have to deal with him. He said, good idea. So he went as early as he could to the palace, and the king said, Haman, good morning. You look like you haven't slept either. He said, Haman, I've got a question for you. What should be done to the man whom the king delights to honor? And Haman thought, oh, that's me. Just think how, again, such pride, how embarrassing. But he wasn't embarrassed. He got together in his mind everything that he would like done to him. And it's really embarrassing. What he said was so telling. He said, I think that you ought to take such a man, clothe him in your own robe and crown, and put him on a beautiful horse, and have someone lead him through the city, saying, this is done to the man whom the king delights to honor. All of that is what Haman wanted for himself. Isn't that silly? We say, oh, that's silly. But did you know that thing, ambition, self-promotion, every one of us has to fight it or it'll take us over. And you think, oh, I would never, like Cain, I would never kill my brother. We have to fight that thing that says, I'm really mad because God blessed you and not me. We have to fight it. We have to ask God, Lord, crucify it. Give me your spirit, which is humble and meek. Lord, I don't want to, we don't act this way in God's church. This is not how God's children go about. This is not how his church works. There's no hierarchy. There's no big people, and all the rest of the people are little people. That's not the way it is in God's church. When he said, you be a servant, you be the littlest one, You choose the lowest room. You take the smallest place. So Haman, with all of this vision that he had, he just knew when he told this to the king would say, "Hey, servant, come over here and do this to Haman." He just knew it. He was salivating over the thought. Oh, I'm going to. And so the king said, "Take all of this stuff. That's a good idea. I like your idea. Well, take all this, and Haman, you do this to one called Mordecai." Oh, that's. I love that. I can't imagine what he did. Did he choke? Did he turn beet red? Did he nearly faint? I don't know, but I'm sure he just. He couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. There was another man in the Bible that was a friend to Jeremiah. He wrote for Jeremiah. You remember his name? He kind of was second place guy. He wasn't ever noticed. Well, we do read about him still, Baruch, we read about you. But he didn't know that. He didn't know that he was going to be mentioned. All he was just the little sidekick. Did you know in God's kingdom, the little sidekick, if he's honored by God and blessed by God, that's all he needs. He doesn't need to be promoted. And here's what he told. God told Baruch, chapter 45. "The word that Jeremiah the prophet spake unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, when he had written these words in a book at the mouth of Jeremiah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto thee, O Baruch. Thou didst say, Oh, woe is me now. For the Lord hath added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. Verse 5. And seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not." Evidently, he cut right to the heart of something that was festering in the heart of Baruch. Oh, woe is me. Did you know people can get really, really down in their lives? I remember a man one time that told me, he said, "You know what really gripes me?" He said, I really work hard. I'm a good employee and I never get ahead. He said, "It's always a struggle." And he said, "It really gripes me when I look at so and so," and he mentioned somebody. He said, "They have this fancy house and they have this pool and it has a tennis court and he's got a beautiful wife and he's got kids." And he said, "Here I am," he said, I'm not able to find a wife, and I work hard, and nothing ever, I don't get any breaks like that. He talked to me like that, and I said, "Well, everything isn't always the way that it appears." Thankfully, that person kept his heart on the right things. He just kept seeking after God. The Lord blessed him. No, he never got the house with the tennis court and the swimming pool, but he got a faithful, sweet wife and some little children. The other, it was exactly the way that I said. It wasn't the way that it looked. While he was at the time that he was looking at that person with envy, the marriage was imploding. Broke, busted. They lost it all. The house with the pool, the house with the tennis court. Everything turned into chaos. And that taught me a great lesson. Because, see, I was with him at the time. I didn't know that either, and I didn't have all those things either. I didn't have it bugging me like this other person. I have everything I need. I eat when I need to. I have a sweet little home. I didn't have a jealous bone about it. I could see the same thing, but I didn't see what was underneath it either. And so I've learned a lesson since then. When we look out and we see things that it looks like to us, God's blessing them, but He sure isn't blessing me. Let's take a look at what God really considers blessing. It's not always the earthly things. It's His approval in our lives. And we can't really have faith. We'll lose our souls. Our faith will be gone if we constantly think, I need this earthly honor. I need the earthly things. I want financial success. Jesus said, don't just seek for those things. What did He say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, and what is He saying? Did He say the surplus? No, He said something to wear and something to eat. You'll be given that from God. You put your life and your case in God's hands. He'll never suffer the righteous to be moved. Yes, we may lose our homes. We may lose our reputations. We may go to the stake or the chopping block or be shot or whatever. This has happened to God's people. Jesus was the ultimate example. I'm getting ready to be glorified. Not what you think. It was the cross He was getting ready to be glorified on. So He said, don't look for the honor that comes from men. I remember teaching the verses from Proverbs to our children. One of them says, I don't really even know where it is, where it says, okay, let another man praise thee. This is Proverbs 27:2. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. Self-promotion is an ugly thing to God. He's given these different commandments about it. Proverbs 3:7. There's quite a few of the Proverbs. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Conceit, it's the little topic that is in that verse. Conceit, don't be conceited. That's quoted in Romans 12:12. Be not wise in thine own eyes. The one in Romans says, verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. This is Romans 12:15-16. I'm sorry, I had said 12, but it's 15 and 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Another place. Galatians 6:3. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. This is another outcome for this thing called ambition. Or self-promotion. It says he deceives himself. We'll not have true faith. And another thing, we'll deceive ourselves. I was thinking of this, when a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing. There's a scripture, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 13. It says, if I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but I don't have charity, I am what? Nothing. So if a person, and it also he said, if I give all my goods to feed the poor and I even give my body to be burned, but I don't have charity, it profits me nothing. Here he says, if a man is nothing, but he thinks himself to be something, he's deceiving himself. If I don't have the charity in my life, if I have an esteem for myself that makes me despise others, which is really what happens, most of the time when I have so much esteem for myself, I look down on others. Oh, they're not like the Pharisees. I'm so glad I'm not like this, man. He said, you're deceived if you think yourself to be something. What did God tell Cain? Cain, if you'll do well, you'll be accepted. Don't try to think about being something. Just think about doing what's right. Lord, I want to do what's right. I just want to be a servant. I just want to serve you. I just want to be where you are. Lord, I just want to walk with you. What does the scripture say? He will not walk with the proud or the scornful. Humble thyself to walk with God. I know we won't be able to get all the scriptures. They just come flooding in. I don't know how to get them all. But he's saying here to us, rejoice with those. The one that I just read, Romans 12 and 16, 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Here's what he's saying. When other people are blessed, when other people are getting things that you want, and you think, well, me? What about me? He's saying here, rejoice. Rejoice with those who are rejoicing. Oh, the Lord's just answered my prayers. And you're thinking, huh, I've been praying a prayer for a long time, and the Lord's not answered my prayer. And there's a little rankling in your heart that says, I don't feel like rejoicing with you. He's saying here, put it down. Crucify it. Rejoice with the one. Well, I think of one scripture that says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Whenever someone is thanking the Lord, an humble heart will say, yes, thank the Lord with them. Because an humble heart is at rest. It's free from these selfish exaltation thoughts. An humble heart is truly, truly at rest. It's believing. It's a heart that's got faith in God. Well, my prayer is not being answered, but I know God will in His own time. An humble heart is saying, no matter what happens, I just want to serve you. I want to serve others. I just want to, even though I'm not recognized, if I can just be of service. One place said, I'm willing to be the person at the door that just serves, just lets people in. You know, if we can just be that. He told the Pharisees, you don't go into the kingdom yourselves, plus you hinder those who want to get in from getting in. I just want to be a servant. Well, I believe that's all that the Lord has given me today. There may be more later, but maybe that'll be enough to get us thinking. Lord, I want your blessing. I want your honor. It may not be in the way that humanly I've always thought, but now I see what it really means to be honored. It means to go into the low places with you and receive that honor that comes only from God.